League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go. I'm reading a story right here. Should the Chiefs shut down Patrick Mahomes for the rest of the season?
I would.
And the answer is yes.
I would.
Yes. We don't need him in the league right now. Rest of the regular season, shut him down. Honestly, though, it's not a horrible idea. Although you do want to keep the home field.
That's a problem. No. But, you know, if you can beat the Texans without Mahomes, you got a good chance to keep it. But if not, you know, you could. I mean, Buffalo's on a pretty good heater.
Yeah.
It's so funny. The Texans are one of the only teams that's knocked them off. Who's the other one?
They lost early. I forget who.
They didn't lose to New England.
Well, they got three losses now.
Are they up to three?
Yeah. They lost to. They look good though. They're okay. They're not the best team in the NFL.
Oh, they lost to the Rams. That's right. Mega shootout
just a week before.
Yeah, the Bills have scored 90 points in the last 2 weeks and they're 1-1.
Yeah.
And their margin of victory is plus four.
Yeah, so that's why the Chiefs can afford to at least sit, especially on a short week.
The Bills do have a tiebreaker with a head-to-head win over the Chiefs.
Yeah, right. The only Chiefs loss. And they took care of them pretty handily. Although that was, what, a nine-point win?
Nine-point win, yeah.
The Texans will win by double digits this week.
Okay.
The Texans will hand the Chiefs their biggest loss of the
season.
So
I assume you think Gilbert's getting a division hat and a stake.
Well, he got – no, he
– We think he got a stake yesterday.
We do.
But he told us yesterday, if you don't want the Texans to lose to the Chiefs, give me my division hat. Yeah, division.
They don't make those, though. I mean, what is he talking about? They make AFC South champs?
Oh, yeah.
No, they don't.
Oh, T-shirts, yeah. I don't know about hats. They make T-shirts.
No, they're not hats.
You don't think?
No. You'll find one. I dare you to find one.
How many? What else is there for us to celebrate?
If you find one, I'll buy it and I'll send it to you.
Well, what else is there for us to celebrate as Texans? Division titles, right? You're not going AFC.
No, we're AFC.
You're not winning AFC. They've never won AFC. Never been a hat?
What about this year? They're going to be AFC finalists.
There's never had a hat then, what you're telling me.
No, not to celebrate. Well, yeah, I guess that is true.
Texans division hat.
When the Colts put up their AFC South finalist banner in the stadium? Remember?
Look, this is the
AFC
easiest.
Finalists.
AFC South Division Champions 2024. It's already out.
Did I say I was going to buy it?
Yeah.
Did I say
there
that?
There it is. There's
out loud?
A sticker.
Did you hear me say
it's
it?
It's a new era.
You didn't hear me say it.
It was the easiest thing. What else are you going to celebrate? You can't. They're not going to win the pennant, as we say.
Oh, I'll buy it for them. What the hell?
It's $42.
$42?
It's $31.99, but.
Oh, 30% off I got, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it say 30% off?
Yeah. Yeah, you do have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have 30%
off. But that's
off.
Not the kind of hat he wears anyway.
What do you mean? What kind of hat do you think? This know, is just a regular hat. It's actually a pretty cool looking hat.
Yeah, it's not bad. Why would you want an AL? Well, of course, you're right. But he wanted AL West champion hats for the Astros.
Well.
When they win World Series.
Houston Astros division championship locker room 940 stretch snap caps. They have that too.
Should we get...
No, don't get him
let's
an Astros.
Let's get Gilbert a skull
say,
cap.
I said a skull cap.
Yeah, let's get Gilbert a skull cap.
give it. You should give him a 2023 division champion's hat if you want the Texans to suffer an injury.
He'll go nuts. He'll go nuts if and I get a 2023.
It's actually, don't joke around with it because it's just going to come back on you. He just, big relentless, will not stop.
Yeah.
So you're in the books now. You got NFL Shop has it a little cheaper for $29.99.
Okay. All right, just keep going. Keep going down.
That's as low as I can go.
Until you get to 1444.
This is his.
Keep going.
That's his.
That's not bad. That's fine.
That's as cheap as I can find.
That's fine. That's fine. Get it. I'll give you my card.
He holds us hostage.
He does. He really does. I spent more than that on him. When I was at a Super Bowl, I had to get him a hat and a program. You know what that is?
Probably cost about $80.
Yeah. No, it was more than that.
$80?
Yes.
A hat's going to be about 40. What's the program?
It's program, 25? 30, 40, whatever. Yeah, that's 80. I mean,
hey, ridiculous. You got out light. Other people have had to give them full on brand new bikes.
Yeah. This is distressing, though. And Chandler Rome is in the know, right? I mean, Chandler Rome, sometimes he talks about stuff. We already knew that. But he's saying, Del, get the Arenado bike from him. What was he on, MLB? I know Brian McTaggart was on MLB. We got some sound from him as well. But this is bothersome. This Chandler Rome soundbite is bothersome. I mean, the fact
that a team is going to sign a target a player?
Yeah.
Bothersome to you?
So Nolan Arenado had a 719 OPS?
Yeah.
A 719 OPS last year. He's going to be 34 years old. We just did this with Jose Abreu, a declining player, and you got 3 years left on his contract. Why would we do this?
Do you still think that Jeff Bagwell has no impact, that this is what Dana Brown wants to do? Dana says, man, this would be a great idea.
Well, I'm pretty sure Dana Brown doesn't want to let Alex Bregman walk.
Well, this has Bagwellytics written all over it. If we are to believe that he was the culprit for Abreu, how is this any different than Abreu? By the way, the numbers are eerily similar too in the yard and the amount you're paying. It's not crazy, like it's less than $20 million a year.
Yeah, no.
And you might be able to get them to pick up some of that. It's just the fact that now you've got someone, like, what are you going to do with them if you?
What are you going to give them? What are you going to give them? Because they're going to want something for a guy went on a 3-year deal.
What are you going to get? We're taking this money off your hands. Are you really giving up you're giving up a guy whose strikeout totals are spiraling or skyrocketing. His strikeouts to walks have took a massive jump. His OPS has dumped two straight years from the 800s into the 700s into the low 700s. His aging. He does have a $1 million decline in salary his last couple of years. But it's like you're fielding a position is all you're doing.
Yep.
You're not finding a guy. You're just plugging. We're to the point now where the Astros, their roster has been beaten up to the point of we just need to find guys to play the position. That's a sad place to be. Yep. And it was a great run, but let there be no mistake. This run is, for all intents and purposes, over if you trade for Arenado. And really, even if you don't, it doesn't matter. You lost Breggy. Or you're losing Breggy, and even though the Astros say they are quote unquote, they told Ari Alexander from Channel 2, he had this quote: "We are still in it," or what was his?
We're in it to win it. He didn't.
No, it's something like we're still in on Alex Bregman, and I said, "Woo, in on is doing a lot of work there."
Well,
in that sentence, he goes, "Well, I said I put it in quotes because I'm quoting them." I'm like, "No, it's okay, big boy. I'm not." After you, I'm telling you, I don't believe you. Yeah. You're not in on Bregman.
What you wanted to say, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it.
Yeah.
But that's what you wanted?
I'd rather say that.
Ain't getting that.
They say that with every free agency.
Here's Chandler Rome talking about this Nolan Arenado deal.
Oh, it's definitely real. What I'm comfortable saying is that the front offices have gotten very deep and have talked a good bit. But as you guys mentioned, Nolan Arenado has all the autonomy here. He has all the authority to dictate where he goes. It's my understanding that I'm not sure if he'd waive his no trade clause to come to Houston. That's still unclear to me, but suffice to say that the two front offices have done due diligence, have discussed this. It began at the winter meetings where they checked in. Things intensified shortly thereafter. And Kind of now, it's kind of a wait and see sort of thing. If Nolan Arenado, again, it's unclear as to whether he would waive his no trade to come to Houston, but he is he has the ultimate final say, and he's earned that right with the contract he signed and with the no trade clause that's in it.
Maybe he doesn't want to come here. That'd be sweet. What? Maybe they'd have a deal. How great would it be if they got a deal and he said, nah, I'm not going to Houston. All right. That would be the one guy that I would be happy with that would say, I don't like Houston.
You know, it's always.
That would be sweet.
Like, if he were younger, you could be a little more excited. If he were in his 20s, could you think, well, he's got, you know, some upside, or maybe the Astros can get him right, or maybe they can figure out what's going on with him. But this is really just a situation where his best years are behind him. You're getting a guy with his best years behind him. Remember what – this is like when the Rockets had their championship.
This is typical for almost every baseball player.
But do you remember
when – you hit mid-30s and you're going to fall off.
Yeah, but do you remember when the Rockets had their championship and then they started trying to hang on and keep the window open with Eddie Johnson and all these moves that were okay.
Barkley, Pippen.
They were okay, yeah. And they were – but they were guys at the end of their careers. No. And it was – it's like it doesn't work when you do that.
No.
It doesn't work. You're just fielding a team to play 162, and these fans are not going to be happy with these ticket increases over time.
This is a Carlos Lee move. This is a Carlos Lee
move. Yeah. Well, Carlos was still very productive. Well, this guy's not nearly as productive.
Well, we'll see if he can knock in 100 here.
No, he can't. He hasn't done it for a few years. He hasn't done it since he was in Colorado, right?
No, I don't know.
Did he have one with the Cardinals when he was in his early 30s?
I don't want to say that. I don't know. I don't know that he didn't have 100 in St. Louis.
You're not gonna love the shipping charges on this hat.
No, yeah, he had 200 RBI seasons.
He did with the Cardinals?
93 to in 23 and 71 last year. I mean, the drop off is precipitous. Why are you doing this? I mean, I'd throw out his Colorado numbers, but he did. He still performed. He had 807 and 891 OPS in 2022. His OPS was 891 in 22. That's pretty good. I'll take that as opposed to the 900s that he was in Colorado, which is about what it translates to in St. Louis, right? Okay, so, but then it's 774 and then it's 719. This is obvious, people. Don't do this. Don't make the same mistake twice. Now, that's just not good. That's just not smart. What is Jim Crane doing? What happened to the guy that, you know, just did thought everything through? And what happened to that? What happened meticulous organization?
This is the same move that they did with Abreu, and Bagwell was the culprit. Why do you think he has no – why do you think he's out of the organization?
I have no idea what it is.
This is the same move as Abreu. It's not any different.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. This would be – this is – don't. Don't. I mean – Maybe Nolan Arenado, a change of getting out of that park and into this park would be. I'm trying to talk my way into it. I can't talk my way into going.
Maybe he's going to be that rare guy whose career is reinvigorated at age 34.
Yeah, he's that guy.
I mean, actually Verlander, but that's different. That's pitching, and he's a unicorn. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Those guys don't really exist.
No, he's the best of the era. What are you going to Nolan Arenado. Although, no, I'll tell you this about Nolan Arenado.
He was a Colorado gangster.
Great, great glove. Unbelievable glove. I mean, he's got, how many does he have? 5, 6 gold gloves? And, you know, that would be better than Whitcomb, I think. That would be better if we're going to look at Whitcomb versus Arenado. I mean, they might hit about the same. They might hit somewhere close to the same.
Then I'd take Whitcomb.
I guess. Not, well, no, lose, your defense would be much better.
You lose defense. What we can tell. You lose defense.
No, everything we could tell.
But I don't think he'll be as bad as that one game. But at least you got somebody who's cheaper.
Oh, you're hoping he's not going to make 4 errors a game.
But right. But I mean... Is there a chance that you grow with him since he's been a pretty good hitter in the minor leagues at his two stops that he's had? At least you could grow with him grow your own. This guy is nothing but a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Well, Jim Crane said, I ain't here to lose now. So if I'm here, we're going to keep on trying to win. That's all.
That's fine.
Yep. I know where I'm going to be on Monday. I'm going to be at Nick's place. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Nick's
place. Okay, Nick's place, 23rd. That's the Christmas party. We want you all there. It's going to be fun, a fun morning of drinking and getting ready for a great holiday season. It's what we have done for years and years and years, so let's not miss it this year, okay? This is the year that I think we blow the roof off of Nick's place. We get rid of all those bandanas he's got on the ceiling. Or we blow out his, let's do it. Let's blow Nick's place out on Monday, December 23rd. And we can do it with really, I want you to show up with nice hair, okay? That's what I want. I want you to show up with Doc Linville hair. Doc Linville is spectacular. He is, I'm telling you, the procedure that he has done, he cares about guys. Now, dude has been in the women augmentation business for years and years and years now, and it's been fantastic. And now he's helping out guys. And you know what? It is spectacular what he does for your hair, what he does for your abs, what he does for your face. And it's not, don't worry, it's not surgery. It is just clipping some stuff around your eyes that is going to make you look better and feel better. All of these things. Why should you not feel the best you could possibly feel? And if your hair is receding or you got a bald spot growing, nope, do it now. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So the 33rd team put out lowest catch rates allowed this season.
Yep.
Nate Wiggins, number one. Kamari Lassiter, number two.
Nate Wiggins, that's pretty good for him.
Yep. Derek Stingley, Jr., number three. J.C. Horn, who was injured early his first year, right? He missed his whole
career.
Yeah,
he's had, I think, a couple years.
And but he's pretty good. Dante Jackson, Darius Slay, Christian Gonzalez. Oh, and here's finally a Jet. DJ Reed, not Sauce Gardner. Denzel Ward and Kobe Durant. But Derek Stingley, since we're talking about the topic has resurfaced about Derek Stingley versus Sauce Gardner. Derek Stingley leads in almost every category in his career.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to pull him up again for you. I pulled up the numbers between these two guys.
I mean,
ooh, you're going to be very surprised.
Receptions per snap, 12.12 to 13.78.
Well, who's first?
Derek Stingley's first.
Okay.
12.12.
Is this this year?
So he leads in that. Yards allowed per snap, 1.09, 1.26. Touchdowns, Sauce Gardner's allowed 3, Derek Stingley 6. Interceptions, not even close. Stingley 11, Sauce 3.
Now, when you say now 6 for career this year?
This is 6 touchdowns. This is for career.
Okay, for career.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, Sauce only.
Yeah, he's got 11. This is 11 touchdowns versus 3. Eleven interceptions versus 3. That Stingley's got 11, not this year, obviously. Quarterback rating targeted, Stingley's killing him, 55.1 to 67.8. Target expected points
allowed.
Well,
Stingley's killing him means people are throwing to him more than Sauce. That's not really getting...
No, quarterback rating targeted.
Oh, ratings when targeted.
When targeted. Targeted EPA, he's killing him. Twice as good. Target rate.
Oh, my gosh. Look, John, the story here, forget career. The story here is this year, the drastic change. Listen to this. Okay, so in year one, now remember, Stingley only played 9 games. He had 5 passes defensed. Last year he had 11 games. He had 13 passes defensed. And I haven't even gotten up interceptions, which is a different thing.
So Sauce doesn't get him allegedly because they don't throw at him.
Okay, well, I can look at all his targets. Mm-hmm. And in this year he's played 14 games and he's got 17 passes defensed. Here's what's happened with Sauce Gardner. The first year he played as a rookie, he had, where is it? It is.
Well, the argument, you remember 20 passes defensed. Well, could be.
No. Okay, they didn't throw him his rookie year. He had 20 passes defensed his rookie year.
Uh-huh.
Last year, he had 11. This year, he has 8. Interceptions, he has 3 for his career. Derek Stingley has 11.
Right.
I mean, the ball production is not even close. 11 touchdowns and 35 passes defense for Stingley. For his career, Sauce, who's played more games, by the way, has 3 touchdowns and 39 passes defense, which are higher than Stingley, but not per game, because he's played a lot more. You know, Stingley's played 34 games. Sauce has played 46 games. His yards per yards per attempt just this year, Sauce Gardner, when I go to advanced stats, Sauce Gardner, okay, so Sauce has been targeted this year. Stingley's been targeted 72 times, and he's allowing 10.3 yards per completion. Your boy Sauce has been targeted 47 times, and he's allowing 17 yards per completion.
That's a lot.
Yeah, he's not targeted as much because you know why? They don't have to throw as much because they're beating the Jets.
That's true.
The Jets don't have to see the pass as much because they're losing most of the time.
How about this one? Penalties in their career.
Sauce is a grappler, so he's probably a lot higher.
19-4.
Oh, my God. So one guy's trusting the technique. The other guy is a grappler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was in college, too, so that's no different.
Well, okay, so
these are legitimate. There's a legitimate conversation to be had. Sauce is not playing nearly as well as he has since his rookie year, and Stingley's playing at an elite level. Like, right now, Stingley is a better corner than Sauce is.
Yeah, he's better. And you know what? For all the media types like yourself that said, "Oh, Stingley, they should have drafted Sauce Gardner. Maybe Nick, maybe we should trust in Nick instead of jumping to conclusions just because Stingley didn't play much football at all, okay, in college. Decided he didn't want to play too much.
And then not much in pros.
For a little while.
First 1.5 years.
Yeah, right. But that's okay. Now look, who would you rather have?
When he plays, he's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's playing
now.
Yeah, he's playing now. I mean, I don't know if you heard.
Well, he's played for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So, no. I think the argument about Stingley versus Sauce is wide open now. At one point, it looked like the door was closed, but this is what happens when you make final decisions after a year. After 3 years right now, I think this is very much open for debate, and there's not a clear leader in this battle. Sauce was better early. Stingley's better late. The aggregate is about even. When you look at their games played, Sauce has been more available, of course, but and I'd have to see what kind of defenses they're playing, because the weird one here is, you know, the completion rate on Stingley is 47.9 and 45.8. Now, how much man are you playing? How much zone over the last 2 years? On Sauce, it's 56, and this year, 61.7% completion rate. Giving up 17.1 yards per completion, 10.6 yards per target, where Stingley's 4.7 yards per target. Like, the numbers are astoundingly positive for Stingley over Sauce this year by a wide margin. So, Nick and him.
But you know what? The media types might even not even look at it.
They're just going to look at, wow, like the media types, wow, will say, oh, and they won't do their homework, right, like we're doing by looking at these stats,
by looking at the numbers
on a website.
Yeah, while Dell just sits in there and reads Miami's website.
So how about this?
Website.
72 targets against Stingley, and he's allowed 339 yards. Sauce, 47 targets. He's allowed 496 yards.
That's a lot more, I think. It's a lot more.
Does Dell look the same that you remember him? Like, I know it's been a while since you been in the studio.
He's got the lights off in there. He doesn't care about anything.
You still recognize him?
You can't even see him, all right?
He looks particularly
He's got his head in his phone reading fans of Miami Hurricane fan sites. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Who be getting our portal?
Oh, yeah. Who are we targeting?
I can't even get him to move.
I know. He's the worst. You know what's the best? MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
Can you find out what's wrong with your friend?
I don't know.
He needs you to talk to him during the break.
Maybe he needs a back rub.
Good Lord, I hope not. Not from me.
Okay, maybe. You don't know. You don't know if he needs a back rub.
Dale is over there in a granny forum, is what they think on Twitch. They think he's visiting a granny forum.
Granny site?
Yeah. Silver singles.
MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. He's just getting ready for his show is all he's doing.
Yeah, no,
that's what he does this whole time while he's here. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, the place to go play, win, and get paid. That's what's important. When you go to a bookie, you want to make sure that you're going to be able to get paid. And you get paid at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It is, to me, it's as good as any site you can. You go right now and you can see, you can bet on the Texans. Okay, they ain't waiting to put up numbers for Mahomes. Who cares? We're going to put up a number on the Texans. Texans -2.5. Get there and play the Texans. Because you know what? That's going up as soon as Mahomes is out for the game and Carson Wentz is going to be announced. Are you kidding me? So if you're looking for the best place to, okay, so your initial deposit, if you've never been on there before, they're going to double your deposit. Thursdays, they give you a free bet on the NFL game. They'll give you some kind of different option on who scores a touchdown, who most if he gets over this many receptions, if he rushes for this many yards, whatever the case may be. So these are things that you are going to gain from because it's a free bet. Free bet on Thursday, okay? Doesn't cost you a thing, and it's all you can do is win. So if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, you're looking for the best site, easy to navigate, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let's get Andy in here. Andy wants to talk about the Texans offense, but who doesn't? I mean, it's on all cylinders. It's just all cylinders. It's flowing tremendously. What's up, Andy?
I tell you what, guys. The word I come up with is pathetic. Because the last three games, the teams they play have a combined record of 15 and 27. And they are putting up an average of 255 yards a game against those three teams. And it's actually worse than that because when you look at it yesterday or Sunday, they show them with 181 total offensive yards. But they added the punt return in that. So they actually had 146 total yards against the Dolphins. 146 yards. They're the worst team the last 3 years, the last three games, in putting up yards. The Bears are better than them putting up yards.
Boy, don't say stuff like that.
It's embarrassing. It really is. And I blame D'Amico. D'Amico's got to make the change. Gerard Johnson is going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere next year. And Bobby Slunk's not getting the job done this year. What do you guys say?
Listen. I kind of agree with you.
It's trending in that direction.
It's turning into that.
I really think that all of you who are waiting for Bobby Slowick to meet his Bastille Day are going to be sad.
No, he's
going
to be back next
sad.
Year.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going to be a head coach, and he's not getting fired by the Texans. I mean, it's 100% not going to happen. I'll put my mama on it. He's not going anywhere. That's D'Amico's guy, and he's the same guy that helped lead CJ in the right direction last year with the offense. That's how D'Amico's going to look at this as he's 1-1, and let's see what happens in year three. That's what's going to happen. Now, this stuff drifts into next year, and we could see something happen by mid-season. Everything he said is true, though. I mean, they're not scoring. Their offense, we talked about how miserable the offense has been. This is against teams that aren't really very good. The Titans, you got beat by the Titans. The Dolphins have a losing record. They're better on paper than they are from a record standpoint. And they've got some guys that can rush a little bit, but
yards per game, where are the Texans?
For the season?
Yeah.
They're like 14th.
20th.
For the season.
For the season.
Yeah.
324 yards a game. That's really not good.
What were they last year?
Passing. What do you think, after CJ last year, what do you think their passing this year is?
Well, 16th?
Well, how many yards per game?
14th.
Yards per game. Not
how many yards per game are they throwing for?
Yeah.
Oh, 231.
212. That's pretty bad.
It's down it's around the league.
Yeah.
But this is...
Well, there's one team that can pass. There's a couple of teams that can pass.
Yeah, this is... That's
Cincinnati, 271.
Where does 212 put them?
212 puts them... In the league. It's right in the middle.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, right in the middle. But the league is just terrible. I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams that don't average 200 yards per game passing.
That's astounding.
It's awful. It's awful this year.
You know, there's a game on Underdog called...
You know, look at the teams, too. The teams that don't. The Steelers. The Chargers.
Winners.
The Eagles.
Winners.
The Eagles average 187 yards a game passing.
Yeah.
Three teams that are playoff bound or possibly playoff bound.
We may have hit a pivot point where the pendulum has swung back and it looks like you got to run now to win. Remember when it was only pass? You didn't need to have tight ends or running backs anymore. You just throw the ball every play. That's what analytics says. Now all of a sudden it's like analytics says run. Don't pass anymore. Don't pass. Forget it. They started playing cover two. They started playing two deep safety shells.
Can't do anything.
Two deep safety shells have been around forever, for an eternity. All of a sudden it's impossible to beat a cover two look?
Yeah.
But apparently it is. The league is, you got all these quarterbacks who all they do is play 7-on-7, and then they get, you know, they get plays wired into them from the sideline. Doing this and pictures of grandmas and stuff like that. And so people tell them Kurt Warner's talked about this. You got a whole generation of quarterbacks who aren't really very smart. Like they've never been taught to really truly read. They read half fields. They read just corners on combination routes. They don't really have to read as much anymore.
No.
They simplify play calls. Now all of a sudden you got a bunch of young guys and guys who aren't even that young who grew up in the 7-on-7 era, who grew up with the speed offenses of the, you know, the speedy spread type offenses. And now that they're facing grown ass men defense and some different counters that the defense coordinators have now countered, look how many of these guys can't function anymore. CJ's one of them.
Yeah.
It's like, now what do I do? Well, I mean, because the defenses they're playing are forcing them to hold the ball longer.
He was so smart last year.
I know, but
watching him watch tape, and he would explain what he was doing, and it was like, oh, my God, this guy is far ahead of everybody.
The defense is now forcing you to hold the ball longer because you now don't have simple reads because there's simulated looks.
This year it just happened.
This year, there's for the Texans, we're seeing an enormous amount of simulated pressures. So now the Texans front has to decide, okay, this is the mic. This is what our protection looks like. CJ, I don't know. I mean, I assume he gets to call some of the protection so he can get himself protected. So then all of a sudden, two guys bail out. So now it's like, so CJ has to recognize that. Now he has to look at the safeties. Where are the safeties? It is a lot more for him to process, okay? A lot more for him to process. And he's processing somewhat slowly because how long he's holding onto the ball.
Processing with an offensive line that's a problem.
It takes longer to do it, now you're going to have more heat on you.
Right.
And that's going to be around the league. Like, defensive linemen are way ahead of offensive linemen from a talent standpoint across the league. But now you got quarterbacks like CJ's having to realize it's one thing to deal with pressure last year when you got a bunch of man coverage and you kind of know, all right, I got a man beater with Tank Dell, and I got a man beater with Nico Collins. Yeah. All of a sudden, they're showing you simulated pressures, and there's more for CJ to process. It's taking longer. The pressure's breaking down, and it's turning him into a jittery pocket quarterback. And we saw it. You could see it. Like, when that clock goes off, he gets jittery. The feet get jittery. He looks unsure. I don't know how that's going to get fixed. I mean, I think the best way to fix it is going to have to be through play calling. It really is going to have to be Bobby Sloak. I mean, yes, your offensive line block better, all that stuff. But Bobby Sloak's going to have to manufacture throws, and he's going to have to simplify it for CJ, I think. That's my guess.
Well, look at the league this year. The best teams running the football, the Eagles, the Ravens, Commanders, Packers, Buccaneers, Lions, all in the playoffs.
All in the playoffs. And frankly, when Mixon has been healthy, they've run the ball well.
Yeah.
The Texans.
Well, Well, he missed a couple of games, but they're still they're way down.
No, no, they have to be. But when he plays, I mean, he's got what 500 yard games.
Yeah,
out of 7 starts, I mean, that's pretty damn good. Maybe 8 starts.
He's got more than that. He's only missed 2 games.
He's missed more than that, hasn't he?
No,
didn't he miss 3?
No, Joe Mixon's
with the first hip drop.
Here,
I feel like he missed any more because one of the games he missed it in game, so I don't count that game.
Joe Mixon is played in 11 games. 11, 910 yards. He's got.
That's a good total per game. They put him in the top 10 for in the league.
Well, no, he's having a great year.
Yeah, he is. I mean, 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, when healthy, they have run the ball pretty well.
Yeah, except the last, 2 out of the last 3 games, he had 23 yards and 22 yards.
Yeah, that's been a problem. One of them, he got a hip drop, but it didn't
every
matter.
Other game now, it's not good. 46, 22, 23.
Was that the Titans where he couldn't do anything? Because the
Titans, he had 22 yards. Detroit, he had 46 yards. But he's got 700 yard games out of a.
I mean, that's the Texans win the division, and they got a running back with 700 yard games. That's pretty good.
Yep.
So you got to be able to run the ball now. This is how it changes. The league eventually changes. Cover twos are back. Deep safety shells, which had gone away. They'd gone to a lot of cover one stuff, a lot of single high safeties and exotic this and that. Now they're like, let's force offenses to dink and dunk and see if these younger quarterbacks who are so reliant upon wide receiver cornerback matchups, let's turn them into chess players. And they're not very good chess players right now, frankly.
Right.
There's a lot of quarterbacks who don't play chess very well against more basic coverages and simulated looks. It's wild. I mean, it's really wild. You know, Manning and the best, Manning, Breeze, and Brady would slaughter you if you went to these looks. They'd say, we'll go 15. You know, Detroit had a 16-play drive the other day against the Buffalo Bills for a touchdown. These guys, take what's there. CJ's going to have to, and Bobby Slowick with a lot of play action and longer developing routes, they may have to get away from it. And they may, at some point, you know, you got to do both. You're going to say, look, we have this.
We're 14 games in, Lance.
I know, and that's
why. When are we going to start doing that?
Well, this is why it probably isn't going to happen this year. These kind of changes don't happen in a single year where you switch up your offense. And frankly, quarterbacks don't get, like, you don't change. You're not going
you
to.
You can get, throw they're quick not going slants to get better. Now. It's not like they don't have it in the offense.
Oh, you can throw slants.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm talking about more.
Stick route,
three
slants.
Wide stuff.
I mean, you don't have to. Not everything has to be a slow developing. Goodness
no.
gracious!
Well, no, but it is when you run it off the.
Who
off
was
play
the QB
action.
That couldn't tell Gruden any kind of offensive plays? Just saying, said something super simple. You remember?
It was Cam Newton.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was. It was 36.
That's
his famous
right.
thing.
36.
Remember? He said, "What was your call for the? Hey, Cam, let's take a look at this right here. We got a one tight end set. Okay." Two wide, we got two to one side, twins here, and you got a split. You're split out here. You're split in. And we're going to go with this look here. We're going to give a little jam. He's getting jammed. We're going post, corner, and a dig. Now, what do you say about that? We had that. It's a 36. What do you mean it's 36? Well, we called that play 36. You called your play. That was it. You just had a number. You didn't make any other calls on the route call. You didn't say YX, purple banana, split 26, jet go. No, just 36.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
But stop. He's not a female.
Stop,
that
you salty little bastard.
This is a male.
This is what he is.
Oh, wait.
That's the
and then,
wait,
you,
wait,
and then you just flop.
The
and
point,
then you flop
you
like you were.
The point is, Cam is taking shots at the female reporter, and he can't even recite routes.
You
right. Well, how about this? What about his quote
you
this
week? You pointed at me.
What about
no,
his?
Because you called me a bastard. That's why.
You pointed at me before I called. I called you a bastard because you went like this after that. Funny to hear a female talk about routes, and you went and you pointed
you
at me.
You got
female.
Offended by being called a woman.
But what about Cam's quote this week about going to strip bars?
Oh my! Oh no! That was okay. That was edited. I saw the real one, so we can't even really play it. It was a brilliant editing. Oh, no. Actually, the real one is.
No,
that's right, because I sent you guys the full version where he went to strip bars, not for the. Oh, it's Marty's birthday today. I shouldn't be saying all these things. But he went.
He goes to strip bars for
not
guys.
Not for women, but for the men, because he's in competition with them. If you put $5,000 out there, I'm going to put $6,000 out there. If you want to start making it rain, I'm going to make it rain harder. I mean, I'm just thought, that's not the competitive fire that people are looking for. That's go broke energy. He said, I come up with $15,000, $20,000. I want to make you feel bad. He wanted to make people feel bad about themselves who are trying to give money to strippers. Well, they're already giving money to strippers. And he wanted to make them
just
feel
walking in, you're feeling bad about
yourself.
Yeah,
he wanted to wallet whip them to really make them feel bad.
Okay.
Because I can go back and make this money again. I'm like, I don't love this train of thought, Cam.
Cam, it's not gonna end well.
I'm not sure this is building generational wealth.
That is not the way to do it. All right. Let's break it, and I want to talk about the peeps over at Republic Boot Company. Republic Boot Company is awesome. It is a great, great place to get your rodeo on. Listen, get your rodeo on this holiday season. First of all, you can do it. Well, we're getting close now. Why don't you go? Listen, we're going to be there this Friday. Friday is a great day to go and hang out at the bar there. They've got a band there in the afternoon, and the bar is open, and you don't pay anything because they don't have a liquor license. So you just go and you drink and you have a good time and you smell the leather. But this is a great place to go and get a wonderful gift for somebody. If somebody that you know goes to the rodeo every year, maybe they're in the rodeo. They're in some committee or something, and they need a new hat. They need new boots. They need a new belt. Whatever it is, great present for somebody this holiday season, because you know that they're going to use them come this March. Here's the deal. You're looking for the best place to get it. It's Republic Boot Company. Love it. It's in the Heights, Studewood. You are going to love what they do, how they do it, everything about it. They've got custom boots on the shelf. How could they be custom if they're on the shelf? Well, because they fit them to everyone's foot. Custom hats on the shelf because they fit them to everybody's head. It's the place to get your rodeo on. It's oldest. It's the best. Republic Boot Company. Come see us this Friday. We're going to be broadcasting live. Republic Boot Company.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got some calls in here. Guys want to talk about what we've been talking about. Chris from the Woodlands is up first. Jim, we're going to get you in here. And then Gilbert. Gilbert wants to talk about the Texans, apparently, today. Well, but we're going to get the other guys in first because that takes a while. What up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'd love this opportunity to get me in before Gilbert. I'd like to work to do it at 9 o'clock this morning, so I'd like to get in. Quick question. So, I would say that the best three quarterbacks in football right now would be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. And Lance, you've always talked about some of these better quarterbacks in college look better because they have five-star receivers that just obliterate their talent. And I was thinking, as you guys were talking earlier, some of the better quarterbacks now, if you think Eli, Drew, and Peyton back in the day, they didn't have the elite five-star receivers that they're throwing to, you know, Drew at Purdue, Eli at Ole Miss. Is there a correlation, and do you think some of these general managers sit down and look at some of these mid-level prospects and think, hey, they're throwing the one-star receiver and still making things happen? I mean, I saw a recent post, Josh Allen in Wyoming was running around for 40 seconds, it seemed like, in the backfield before he made a throw for a touchdown. Do you think there's any correlation to these elite level Alabamas and programs like that with their quarterbacks? We get hyped up as fans watching them on Saturdays, thinking they're going to be great, and these GMs are like, eh, whatever. I mean, obviously they take Caleb Williams and one and things like that because they have a job to save. But what correlation do you think there is to mid level quarterbacks in college because they don't have great receivers and they transition to seem to be some of the goats in the NFL.
The first time I heard about that was Jay Cutler, where a lot of teams were pretty excited. Like, look at this guy's at Vanderbilt running for his life, and look at the throws he makes and the plays he makes and his productivity, where he's clearly overwhelmed every game from a talent standpoint against SEC competition. And actually, Jay Cutler was wildly talented, but he wasn't built right. He didn't have the right mentality. And frankly, all that running around and running for his life, he developed some really bad habits as a passer, which he was hard to get away from. Think about this, John. Who's the – you want to go through all the great Ohio State quarterbacks over the last 12 years, for example?
Well, Ohio
since,
State.
Since Urban Meyer.
CJ's the first good Ohio State quarterback to come out.
No, Haskins was drafted early. Was
but
no, good.
No, no, but I said he's the first good one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Alabama, Mac Jones, no. Tua. Tua's fine, but I don't know that he thrives with average talent around him or average speed. Mac Jones was a was great in college that one year when he had Devontae Smith, who was unstoppable, but is not a good pro quarterback. Joe Burrow had great talent, but he's a great quarterback. You are swinging. You're having to hit 92 mile an hour fastballs when the other guys are getting to hit 80 mile changeups. When you've got the Corvette engine and you overwhelm your cornerbacks with wide receiver talent, your job as a quarterback in college is so easy. I mean, it's so much easier. That's why Art Briles' old offenses used to take off, or used to have huge. Their whole offense was. It isolate one guy who can't cover, who's not fast enough. We'll get our fastest guy on him, and you take off and run a go route, and everyone else stops, and we'll just throw go routes. Like things like that. Name all the Baylor quarterbacks name Art Briles' quarterbacks that succeeded. Name Mike Leach's quarterbacks that succeeded. You don't really find them. It doesn't mean that, air raid quarterbacks can't succeed because Jared Goff was one, Patrick Mahomes was one. But there is something. But Patrick Mahomes also was at Texas Tech.
Well, right.
Like, he was overwhelmed. His wide receivers were overwhelmed. Oh. Jared Goff's great wide receivers at Cal. I don't know. I don't even remember any of them.
No. And neither with Mahomes. For the most part. And Josh Allen. But Josh Allen, the question about Josh Allen was his inaccuracy as opposed to. But he didn't have anybody open.
Nobody open. So your life, your world and your life gets better when you get separation. There is something to be said for, and Josh Allen was a big learning experience for me and everyone else. When you go from bad wide receivers or lesser talent to equal to or greater than talent, it can make an enormous difference for quarterbacks. However, similarly, if you're one of these high level, if you're a quarterback in an elite program with 4 and 5 star talent all around you, and you go to a team like Bryce Young, who's not as good, and you don't have the advantages outside, wide receivers on corner, look how much harder the game gets.
Yep. It's harder for CJ right now. Look at all the talent the guys
got. And he's actually got talent.
Yep.
And it's not easy for him right now.
Jim, let's get him in here before we break. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Merry Christmas. CJ, I think Lance hits it. Could it be he's slow to diagnose this year? He's thinking too much, first of all, because I look and I'm just looking on my TV. Guys are open. I mean, they're open, and he's missing them. And it's kind of like when you're skiing down a hill, if you ever snow skied. When you come to some moguls, you don't panic. You just kind of work around it, and you get down the mountain. Well, I see CJ panics whenever a lineman breaks through the rush. I mean, Mahomes, he just relaxes, makes a move, makes the first guy miss, finds the next guy, buys time, and hits the safety route. And that's all. I think he's just panicking this year a little bit, and he's regressing. And obviously, he's got reason to panic, but, you got to use your tools. He's an accurate passer. And he's got to fall back on confidence. I think he's just shaking a little bit. And I'll go with Art Schleister for Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a little bit far back.
Yeah, well, he was good, but he wasn't a good pro. He didn't turn out to be a good pro.
No.
Well, I mean,
he had some issues.
He didn't know. He really couldn't. That dude was awful at
everything. Let me ask something.
Here's everything.
Here's a dirty little conversation. Any issues? Is there any thoughts that the S2, which is once again not an intelligence test, it's quickness of processing, quickness of to eye. I can't say this strongly enough because this is always such a scary topic for people to discuss. The S2, and I talked to Brandon Alley, who's one of the guys who developed it, who was two guys who were Olympic athletes and neuroscientists developed it. And what it is there's three different tests. One is involves the eyes and how quickly your eyes make adjustment. That's really valuable for their baseball work that they do with guys picking up rotations on seams and things like that, being able to recognize certain pitches. There's a processing one where I talked to somebody who took a test, somebody who worked with a team because they wanted to take a test, and they said there's just changes all around you, and you have to react to these changes when your eyes see them. And typically that will go down as you get older, right? You don't process as quickly as you get older. For example, it can be age-related, but some people are very fast processors and some people aren't. And it's not really related to anything. You either have it or you don't. It's innate. And you can't really change it. It's not really something that can be learned through practice. And then I can't remember what the third one was, but there's three different tests that comprise the S2. And CJ had a really bad score on it. CJ was the rookie of the year last year, was fantastic. Is there any, like, I'm just asking this, is there anything from the whole S2 thing where CJ, where it foreshadows more processing necessary this year due to simulated pressure looks, where you have to discern where the pressure is coming from and where it's not coming from, and then recognition of how to attack the coverages that they're going to show you that may be different coverages than you saw last year? Is there anything to that? Is there anything to CJ is not processing as quickly? He's hanging on to the ball too long. We see him not throwing. Remember Dalton Schultz had that?
We put S2 to bed with him last year.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Should we maybe not have in the second year now that they've changed up coverages and shown him a lot more?
No. We should have put it to bed. I mean,
why?
Because I think it's all about the offensive line. It's all about the offensive line. And you know what? He's not the first guy that has got – he's going to have to get back, relax, and figure out how to get the ball out quicker or take that – look – Take a page from Joe Burrow. I mean, his feet in the pocket are tremendous. And CJ's not that.
But
CJ's not that right now.
He's not comfortable, and that's the whole thing.
And Joe Burrow had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, and he went to the Super Bowl.
You're literally making the point now. The offensive line is not relative to Joe's processing.
Well, but it's affected CJ.
I know.
It is,
but what I'm saying is he had poise despite the pressure and could get through what he needs to get through. Joe is known as an elite processor, but he also, you know, he had certain advantages at LSU that were very easy and great wide receiver targets. CJ was sacked 38 times last year. He's been sacked 45 times this year, and he's still got three games to go. So it's a lot worse.
It's a lot worse. You're not victim blaming. Yeah, you are.
I'm asking this question. No. Is CJ processing things quickly enough?
No.
Because he's hanging on.
Well, not quickly enough for this offensive line, but you know what? It's a lot faster that he has to process than he did last year.
Yeah, that's called NFL football.
Well, no, NFL football was last year, too.
It's not. I know, and he processed it quickly, but there also he got more man looks. He had more man beaters. It's easier. It's quicker. Mm. Now there's more zones. There's more simulated pressures. There's more. Teams have shown him something else. Why do you think we talk about the sophomore jinx? Well, it's only because teams see you on tape and they go attack, exploit your. That's what's happened to CJ in the tech, but not just CJ. It's happened to Bobby Slowick.
Well,
and Bobby Slowick, by the way, his S2 doesn't appear to be very good.
Wow,
because
wow.
he's not. Is wow. he making adjustments?
Wow. Isn't that your good friend?
Wow.
We sat next
you
to each
other.
I sat next to him one time on a plane.
You take plane trips
with
him.
And I was trying to actually.
You go on vacation
I was trying
with
to
him.
Actually watch a show, and he kept talking to me when I'm trying to watch something on my phone.
Are you suggesting that the leader of the offense and the quarterback of the offense are slow to process?
Wow.
Is that a good thing for
wow.
the team?
Wow.
Well, are they making,
apparently
are they making
plane,
changes? Is it getting
bus.
Better? Is it getting better? You tell me. I didn't say that.
Time to talk.
Is it getting better, John?
Time to talk.
Is it getting better?
No, what's
there?
Getting
is
better?
Is the offense getting better?
What's getting better is apparently not to you, apparently, but I'm still on Team CJ and Bobby. Okay,
and D'Amico's slow to make decisions when it comes to slow. Wow. So we got slow processors and slow decision makers all around.
A division title.
Time to talk about HRP now.
Well, Bill
That's
O'Brien
what we're
did
talking
that
about
too,
because you are getting us into another category here, Lance, with your S2 questions. Time to talk about HRP, and I'm going to probably get called by HRP now after that last comment. But here's the deal. You're looking for the best way to take handle your people, okay? Okay, if they're unhandleable, like me, a little bit, I'm probably going to get a call right now from Chris. Chris Fisher is going to say, John, we're going to need to see you. We're going to need to talk to you about some of the stuff that you just said right here. But here's the deal. Guess what? They're Johnny on the spot. If you need them, they're there. And it's like it kind of is like they're friends, honestly. We have such a relationship. You're going to have such a relationship because they're based right here in Houston. Now, it doesn't matter where your offices are, if you've got offices in different states or whatever, branches in different – doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter where they are. HRMP figures it out. They're going to figure it out. They're going to help you with and they're going to do all your taxes. They're going to take care of everything. So it doesn't really matter. But it seems like, you know, you've got a relationship with them. Not only seems like it, you do. You will have a relationship with them. They have a party every year where they cook crawfish that is it's unbelievable. And all of the clients show up and all of them love it. And it because you're part of the family business. They're going to help your business like you're part of the family. That's what HRMP does. Let them come and evaluate your business and find out what you're doing and what you're doing wrong and let them help you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.